This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by Tech for Less. Get huge discounts on the world's top brands. Save 5% off with code MMA Nuts at techforless.com. My Protein, the best quality supplements for the lowest possible prices. Save 20% off with code MMA Nuts at myprotein.com. Web Hosting Pad. Save 20% off with code MMA Host 20 at webhostingpad.com. Protect a bed. Shield your mattress and pillows from allergens, dust mites, and moisture. Save 20% off with code MMA Nuts at protectabed.com. Defense Soap, used by more champions in more countries than any other brand. Save 15% off with code MMA Nuts. Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts episode 318.
318!
My name is Ingo Weigel.
Matt Griffith, MMA Show, by my fans, for my fans. We're walking the line between serious and ridiculous. Don't go too far off camera.
Here I am. Sorry guys, I keep doing that. It's comfortable to do this, so.
You're low riding.
It's all good. I think it's the lights. It's like starting to
get
like
a little aggro. We're debating, just turn them off. And we'll go dark.
Nah. The dark side, Matt?
Yeah.
Your dark place?
Like GSP?
Yeah. Yeah.
Make all sorts of noises. You talk about UFC 206?
Yes.
This epic card minus Rumble and Daniel Cormier.
Cormier's going to have surgery, apparently.
Yeah.
Fix his shit.
And he's coming back to like March.
Yeah, four or five months.
Rumble's going to sit out. No?
Okay. Eat some chicken wings.
So have racist.
Some, have some barbecue. Eat some racist. Of that. Isn't he still in Miami? Like, eat that Cubanos, whatever you call those thingies?
I don't know.
Why you got to take it there? I wasn't
Cubans?
No. They're like sandwiches. But there's Cuba. There's a name for those things. I don't know what they're called. I've had them before. Cubanos? I don't know. It's a good ass Cuban sandwich, man. It's good shit.
Hey, Castro just passed away.
He did.
Fidel. Infidels!
It doesn't matter. Makes no difference.
Does not matter.
Isn't this like Sun running the country now or
something?
So the guy's even more
is
crazy.
His name Raul? I don't know.
Maybe. Fidel Raul. Raul Castro?
So. I don't know if that's his name. I'm just throwing shit out.
I don't know.
Raul sounds like a good name.
Sure.
Why not? Raul Castro.
Yeah, this card has been fucked up for like many reasons. And then there was a rumor GSP was going to come and save everybody. That didn't quite happen.
Well, he tried and then just couldn't get some shit worked out, right?
Yeah.
So, which fight you want to talk about first? This Donald Cerrone versus Matt Brown?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
All right, what do you see going on there?
Oh, you're going to ask me? Shit.
I could
that's
go
fine.
First.
No, I will go. I was trying before we started to pick a reason to pick Matt Brown because I love Matt Brown. Matt Brown was on the show before.
Yeah.
Big fans of his. I think he's one of the true last warrior guys out in the UFC, left over from the old guard, you know. The way I see it, though, I think he's only got one chance to win this fight, which is if Cerrone throws the game plan out the window and decides to just fucking scrap with him. And Brown, you know how he gets sometimes, he just bites down and he gets in there and goes crazy. He catches Cerrone, you know, not paying attention or, you know, shucking and jiving when he shouldn't have. I think that's really the only chance he wins. Otherwise, Cerrone is just looking like unstoppable right now. And I mean, what did he hit? Nine punch kick combo? You know, it's like the Matrix shit going on with Cerrone, and we know he's got a great ground game. So, I mean, I don't see this going any other way other than some sort of a TKO slash submission in the late first round. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I can't really disagree with you because I was looking at Brown's numbers, and he's won one of his last five fights, but he's been fighting some killers in there. So you're talking Damian Maia, Johnny Hendricks when he was still Johnny Hendricks, and Robbie Lawler.
Who's he now? Other than Johnny Hendricks.
Like Johnny Hendricks light. He's like mini rig or
okay, mini rig, not big rig.
Like post USADA rig. He's got issues.
Yes, he does.
He's got issues. And I look at, again, if it goes to the ground, obviously I favor Cerrone.
Yeah.
I mean, the ground always seems to be somewhat of kryptonite for Brown, but look at how long he lasted, like Matt Brown versus Damian Maia.
Right.
He actually made it to the third round before he got submitted, and Carlos Condit got submitted like right away in the first round. Mm-hmm. So, a testament to Matt Brown being tough as fuck. Mm-hmm. So, I like Cerrone. I like him at 170. I don't know who's going to stop him at 170, but I don't think it's Matt Brown.
Lawler?
Well, they're too good of friends. That's why that fight was always weird, right?
Yeah. I think that'd be good.
And Lawler didn't look great in his fight.
No, he didn't.
He lost to Woodley, so anything can happen. I like Donald Cerrone. Second round KO.
Oh, boy.
Magic 8-ball.
Whoa.
bring out the big guns.
Crazy.
He likes Donald Cerrone too. So we've had these curses back in the day where all three of us picked something. You might want to bet on Matt Brown. I'm just saying. If you're a betting man, Matt Brown's your guy.
Right, yeah, where's this thing happening? Ontario, Canada, right?
Yeah, that's why they wanted to have GSP.
Yeah.
And GSP wanted to be on there. Mm-hmm. All right, so moving along. Max Holloway versus Anthony. People keep rape training my car's Pettis.
Yes.
Keeps having a problem with his car.
It happened again?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Someone was breaking into his vehicles, but...
Interesting.
So, Pettis, here we go. He's lost three of his last four fights. Mm-hmm. And now him and Holloway have an interim title shot, which makes no fucking sense right now. I mean, this is going to be a good fight because I'm looking at, I rewatched that Holloway when he fought Ricardo Lamas in that last fight. And he, like, last 10 seconds, he points in the middle, you want to throw down? And then they just fucking throw bombs at each other. And afterwards, he's going to Joe Rogan. Yeah, he told me mentally and psychologically with a look that, he wanted to bang, so I said, let's bang, bro. So I let him bang. Like, goddamn, that's right.
He's crazy.
Like, he's tough as fuck. The guy's not been knocked out. And
nope.
He was so sharp in that fight, and you look at him, and he's on a 9-fight win streak. Like, everything going right for him. And like I was saying about Pettis losing three of his last four. And if Holloway, I don't know if I want to play kicks with Pettis. I probably want to just... mash him on the cage or make it a boxing match.
Yep.
And not necessarily go for the takedown, but I mean, probably just keep it standing up. I mean, either way, I think we're going to get an exciting fight and probably go one way or another. But I feel I'm going to have a hard time to bet against Holloway, just seeing how dominant he's been of late.
Yeah.
So I got to take Holloway.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I think it's probably a decision, but, you know, the caveat is that, you know, you're headlining a card, you're headlining a title fight. Like, how do you handle that pressure? Are you going to buckle? You know, Pettis has done that before. He's been the champ.
Yeah. While you're talking, I was looking up Holloway's. He's got a huge win streak here going.
Yeah, it's nine. It's ridiculous.
And Pettis has been on a decline, but he looked so good in his last fight, I thought, almost like, I picked against him, and I thought he was going to definitely lose that fight and against Oliveira. But then I was like, wow, like maybe he finally figured out some kind of a leveling ground where he feels comfortable weight-wise, where his skill set's where it's at. And maybe, like, you know, the only thing I worry about, like you'd mentioned, is all this weird shit going on in his house. Like, is there, what's he thinking about?
You know, it's got to work on you, right? You can't just,
yeah.
I mean, out of all the shit, you want to feel safe in your house. And if you're not feeling safe in your house, where the fuck are you going to feel safe?
I don't know. That's a good question.
At the training. At the Rufus Sport. That's where I'm going to be. 24-7.
Underneath the octagon at Jackson's is very safe.
Exactly. Probably has a TV set up down there.
It's a safe place.
A bong. What?
I don't know. You know, I love Holloway. I just feel like Pettis looked so good, and he mentioned the championship experience. I feel like he's going to have a resurgence in 2017. Ooh, I think he gets
a resurgence in a while.
I think he gets his belt back. I really do. And I'm going to predict that he will fight Conor McGregor at the end of the year.
Once
he gets his belt back. I think he's making a comeback. You know, these things kind of come and go. But I want to say that this might end up being fight of the year. I'm thinking decision sounds good. I think these two guys are very entertaining. A lot of weird striking, very dynamic stuff. I think Holloway's down to throw down. Pettis is down to throw down. Like, man, we might have some Matrix-type shit going on.
Yeah, I don't feel like we're going to get this takedown bullshit that people try to imply or employ against Pettis. Like, Eddie Alvarez, right? Or Clay Guida. Let's stand and bang. Yeah. You know Holloway's going to do that for sure. You know Pettis will do it. So finally you get to have... like a great matchup, and you know, hopefully it doesn't stalemate too boring. I don't feel like that can be boring. I don't think so.
I hope not. But we've been wrong many times before. Where it's,
Woodley and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Yeah. I'm trying to put myself in Duke Rufus's head right now and saying, like, what is he thinking? I mean, he's got that pedigree of, you know, stand-up. Like, is he going to let his boy try to game plan, or he's just going to say, fuck it. Like, you know, just go out there and just be entertaining.
Yeah,
you know?
I think you just got to let him go.
Yeah.
Because, and I think this camp specifically, he wasn't doing that back and forth. He just went strict Rufus Sport again. Yep. And Might be a good thing, because maybe having too many cooks in the kitchen messed them up a little bit.
Possible. Everyone trying to, like, adjust here, adjust there. Right? Like, where am I at?
Like, you need to have one guy in control, and maybe that was just too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope these guys deliver, because it could be, like, a stand-up war of, like, epic proportions. So,
like, you're going to throw shit off the cage? Well, I'm going to throw some shit off the cage, you know?
I picture Joe Rogan just, like, losing his shit. Literally, like, has a heart
attack.
It
doesn't take much. Oh, no! Oh, my God! Goldberg, and it's all over.
Yes.
And his lines to say. I think he gets paid for each line.
Probably.
Someone's paying him.
Is that all you got for 206?
Yeah, and we'll just throw an eight ball in. So you're going with Pettis?
I'm
going
to take Pettis.
Okay, I got decision. Holloway decision. And the magic eight ball is taking Max Holloway.
All right.
Move right along. We're in some news. Keep going to switch slides. I keep forgetting that I don't put UFC 206 slide up.
It's all good. I'll give you some quick news.
Yes.
In reshuffling action in the UFC, okay. Chuck Liddell and Matt Hughes parting ways. We're still not clear of what exactly their job functions were. Except to show.
Look pretty.
But hey, they are no longer with the UFC, and there are rumors of other people potentially leaving as well. We had alluded just a minute ago to someone.
Well, with those two, I can't say I'm shocked. I thought that was going to happen right away. I mean, you got to think, the new owners come in, you're trying to cut costs, and... Mm-hmm. Who's going to stick out like a sore thumb that does nothing besides Matt Hughes?
He's got his Bible, Matt.
That's okay, fine.
He's
like, hey, go home, bang that
Jesus.
Bible.
Here, they give them to everybody. Take a Bible.
Does he give that on his parting as a parting gift on the way out? He gives everybody a Bible. Maybe he tried to give the new owners a Bible, and they're like, that's it.
You're done.
And then Chuck, they just fucking watched him watch a couple fights.
Oh, he just got some belt promotion. He got like his eighth dan in like Kenpo Karate or something. Last week or the week before. So maybe he's back to training.
He could be. And someone was joking, like, I wouldn't mind seeing him fighting Bellator.
Chuck Liddell, no. No.
Why not? He's taken a few years off. Maybe the chin has regenerated. No?
No. Dude, it was bad enough watching him lose. Man, that was heartbreaking.
That was tough.
You know, getting KO'd multiple times at the end of his career was Rashad, Rich Franklin. Did he fight Vanderlei Silva? No, that was...
Yeah, he did fight. I don't forget to win.
So, yeah, no. Please don't do that. But what were we saying? Oh.
So, you're talking about other people that potentially... So, I was listening to the Fight Companion with Joe Rogan, and Eddie Bravo seemed to kind of slip and say that, so when is Mike Goldberg leaving the UFC? And then everyone got fucking deathly quiet, and then they're all trying to... Cover it up, but oh, you mean Bill Goldberg and MMA? Hey, yeah, he's not like what he. So obviously,
he got stoned. He's
he
like,
was
oh,
drunk
as shit.
Fuck, on, oh, that, drunk? On that episode. Okay. But, that's kind of weird. And when you think about, because me, I'm planning that's happening. Because there were also rumors of both,
yeah,
you know, Goldberg and Rogan Joe. Possibly not being announcers. Mm-hmm. And that also ties into. They were talking about this new TV deal with whoever signs it, and whoever gets it, they're not going to use the UFC's production.
What?
Because that was the sticking point. Remember, they almost had a deal with HBO before they had Fox, and HBO wanted to have their own people in there as the commentators, and UFC was like, no, we have our own people. We're going to handle the production. That kind of killed that deal. Fox was like, okay, you do what you're going to do, but now with the new deal... Anything goes as far as that. So I don't know if this all ties together, but it seems kind of weird because I wonder,
I don't
know. We were talking about this with the new ownership. You know, can you handle losing a Goldberg?
Yes.
And can you handle losing a Rogan?
No. That would be like, no. No, you can't. Dude, he's as much of a brand of the UFC as anybody. No, you can't do that. I would say he's the most important part of the brand at this point.
Joe Rogan.
Absolutely. Dude, how many times you watch the fights and you, dude, he's going crazy. And he is so much a part of the UFC that he will literally sway my opinion about what the fuck happened of what I just watched. And I know that what he's saying is not true, but I believe him because he's so passionate about it. And that's part of the thing. Dude, I don't know. It's going to suck. This is be worse than when they got rid of all the sponsors and stuff. I don't know if I'll watch anymore. It's going to be hard. I might watch it on mute.
Because look at who are the replacements, right? So If you don't have Rogan, what are you going to have? Brian Stann, Kenny Florian, and if you don't have Goldberg, are you just going to stick with John Anik?
I don't, you know.
I mean, it doesn't make sense unless you're going to bring somebody else in. But again, if it's not broke.
Boss Rutten!
No.
It's probably more expensive.
No. But I'm saying if it's not broke, why are you trying to fix it? Unless the salaries are just so out of line, and maybe that's what it is. If these guys have been there forever, I'm sure they're getting paid multi-million dollars a year for both Goldberg and Rogan. But at what cost is it to your fan base? Because people get, like, for example, STEM is still fucking used, and I still appreciate it when I hear it. Not this bullshit techno STEM that they did. The old school STEM, I start salivating like Pavlov's dog. Like, this is some shit's going to go down.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the same thing. People don't like change. So you have a Goldberg, you have a Rogan. Yeah. I mean, you could probably get away with getting rid of Goldberg, but that guy makes so many fuck-ups that is part of the entertainment.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, maybe Jimmy Smits.
I don't know how long he's under contract for, and he's more of the color guy like Rogan. So I don't think the two of them, I mean, they probably would work together, but
Rogan and Brian Stann, I'm thinking. I think that's too vanilla for Rogan.
You need someone with some flavor. Like, Rogan's got the flavor, but you know, Rogan works
with Rogan and Frank Mir. That would be nice. I'm in for that.
But who does, like, the Goldberg in that?
Frank Mir.
Could work.
Because, you know, if he could be a little.
He doesn't want to kill anybody.
Right? I mean, you got to find somebody who's mildly retarded.
That's what makes it interesting. So you want a punch-drunk fighter.
Misha Tate?
Hey, can we rehire Chuck Liddell? What's he doing?
Oh, yeah, you probably don't understand half the shit he's talking about. So, no, that's probably not going to work. That's hard. We'll see.
I don't know. I feel like when you have a winning formula, I don't think dollars break that formula. Not in my book. If I see a good thing working, I mean, they'll figure it out on their own when people get pissed off. It's the same thing. Like, you're talking about the Reebok. People are severely pissed off, and I can guarantee you they have zero sales. They have zero sales.
We wouldn't even let them sponsor us.
No.
Thank you, but no thank you.
I want no part of that.
Thank you. We are vehemently against what you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't go fuck yourselves, but have a nice day, sir.
Right. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But there's a lot of rumors about at least one of them's gone, if not both, which is crazy.
Yeah. I'm curious who is going to be a replacement. Anthony Bourdain!
No, well, they'll probably put some other pie in that just completely fucks it up, but we'll see. Right. And along with that, we had the, I don't even know what this new association is, but before that, we had... You know, you had the PFA, which was that Boris guy, and you had Lucas Middlebrook and Leslie Smith. And Middlebrook and Smith both left that organization because they thought Boris was not keeping everything confidential because a bunch of fighter names got leaked. So those two left. So now that union type thing is up in the air. I don't know what's going on with that. And then we had this new one come up. So you have Bjorn Rebney, GSP, Tim Kennedy, TJ Dillashaw, Cain Velasquez, and I forgot who the other guy is. I got to look down here.
Well, one of these is not like the other.
Cowboy.
One of those is not like the others. One sticks out like a sore thumb in that list?
It's a lot. Like the Bjorn Rebney, though, right?
Exactly. What the heck is that all about?
I think the best thing I read was Jonathan Snowden on Twitter. He tweeted, he said, Bjorn Rebney heading a fighters union is like BJPenn.com starting an MMA journalist association.
That's awesome.
That's it right there. I'm like, fuck, man. Ball. Like, that guy was notorious for fucking fighters over.
Yep.
And especially when you look at contract situations, you look at Eddie Alvarez and all the issues and timeout and legal bullshit that he had to deal with and finally got out of it and got into the UFC. But so I don't know if this guy's had a rebirth. He found Jesus. And now he wants
Jesus.
Like, I'm fucked the fighters over. Now I want to help all of them. But You know, listening to the conference call, Tim Kennedy said Bjorn is kind of a necessary evil. He's, I guess, very good at negotiations, knows the industry, so.
Okay.
Didn't sound like they were trying to form a union. They were just trying to form an association. And the interesting thing is you got GSP.
Yeah, right.
Which is crazy.
Yes.
And I don't know if this had anything to do with him getting screwed over and not getting a fight, not being able to work something out.
I'm sure.
There's other rumors that maybe all these guys are being managed by a competing company against the new owners of the UFC. Ooh. So they're trying to start something. Because when they asked Bjorn and Kennedy and the whole group, like, who's funding you guys? If they said they've been working on this for close to 2 years mm-hmm. now.
Yep.
Who's funding you? They wouldn't answer the question.
They don't have to.
No, but it would be nice to know, because who is funding it?
Jesus.
That's fine. We got all the money from God.
Matt Hughes.
Matt Hughes. His quest for Bibleship.
That's right. It is interesting. Things are happening and shaking. I think 2017 will be an interesting year.
Well, I worry because there's so many of these. You got the PFA, you got whatever the Randy Couture one is, mm-hmm. Nate Quarry, you got that lawsuit still looming out there, and then you have this new one. It just seems like you have so many that I don't know if you can get all the fighters that you need to back one of them to actually make a change.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about.
You're going to need like half the roster or more, a little more. To make it like,
because it sounded like they almost had. I want to say Brendan Schaub was saying that they had close to 200 fighters already.
Wow.
Or this new one that just popped up.
Okay.
I don't know. And if they're not a union, how does that work? How do they have any legal binding with the UFC? And we'll see what happens.
They have Bjorn Rebney, who's going to make shit happen.
Very weird.
It is. Can I talk to you about something?
Mm-hmm.
It's bothering me.
Good.
I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, yeah, go there.
And John Jones happened to be on it. And I'll get your take on it in a second.
Yeah.
But let me just say that my opinion of him has not changed since the last three times he was on an interview. Because literally, Joe would ask him a question, like, for example, oh, do you write shit down or whatever? He's like, yeah, I write shit down. I put shit in my phone. And so I was like what? Like, I don't know. I got to look on my phone and like, he's asking like if John's changed and have you like, are you taking notes to like, you know, about your life? Are you making changes in your life? It's just so full of shit. And like the whole way he talked about what happened that day when he got crashed, and I didn't hear any remorse. It was all like a bunch of nonsense. And dude, I don't know if he's just not that intelligent or he's just literally just lying through his teeth, but I didn't believe a fucking word of anything he said. And I don't know him, but dude, my radar is going off big time, going like, lies, lies,
gay,
lies,
lies, gay. Super gay, lies.
Just lies everywhere. I mean, did you get that feeling when you were listening to that? Or
no,
what?
Not at all.
Damn, he's
100% truthful.
Come on.
I wrote a bunch of notes down.
Please.
I want to go over some of the highlights, so. Said he would go out and get blackout drunk 1 week before the fight.
Crazy.
And he did that for every fight except the OSP fight.
Yes.
And what happened? Subpar performance.
Yes.
He also said he took 7 months off of MMA training and just did powerlifting 4 days a week. And then he only did 3 months of training for that OSP fight.
Yeah. Well, do you remember the reason why? I just remembered he would get blackout drunk so he could use it as an excuse
yes.
to himself.
Yes.
That's why I lost. That seems mentally weak, does it not?
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird.
Of course.
No, carry on.
And then he said he hasn't been doing any striking. He's just doing powerlifting, jiu-jitsu, and wrestling. He won't be sparring. Just doing mitts and pads at some point. Says he's really in love with jiu-jitsu now, because I know he said he's got that grappling match against Dan Henderson coming up here shortly. He's talking about his partying.
Mm-hmm.
He says, your chances of getting laid are going up because you're hanging out with me.
Of course
they
by
are.
Him, like by him?
Like if he's out at the bar buying drinks for
sure,
everybody,
yeah.
like your chances of getting laid are going
John
way
Jones.
Up.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think the line of the show, Joe asked him, said, why does a guy like you need Cialis? He says, I have a huge cock, Joe.
What is he trying to say? It takes a lot of fuel
yeah,
to get that
yes.
thing going.
And then, just in general, he said, I would rather be known as Boner Boy than, like, a PED user.
I don't buy it. It's all a bunch of nonsense.
Well, the other thing, I saw a clip from the Hurt Business documentary, and he acknowledged that when he pokes people in the eye, that he's doing it on purpose.
To fuck with them. I didn't see that one.
Yeah. There was like a 5-minute clip posted out on the internet.
Okay.
Everyone can probably find that if you search it out. Hurt Business, John Jones, eye poke. So, and now here's a case too. So now you have a guy who pokes people in the eye pretty much every fight, mm-hmm. and now says he does it on purpose. You gotta take a point off the first eye poke he does to you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, my intuition just says the guy is a straight up sleazeball. Like
I'm like, not gonna doubt
straight
that.
Straight up, like anything he says is either for personal gain or it's flat out a lie. And I want to believe that he's reformed. I want to believe that he's been, drug-free, alcohol-free
for
16
years. And he's claiming that. Yeah, he's claiming that. Alcohol, no drugs.
No, for 16 months or something crazy.
But then again, how is he going to perform? Maybe he needed to have that excuse of drinking the week before. So he can go out and win. And then if he doesn't do that, what happens? I mean,
didn't he suggest he go see a sports psychologist?
Yes.
he sounds kind of fucked up in the head a little bit.
He does, and
it's that doubt. He's got that doubt that, you know, I think a lot of high level athletes or business people or whoever is in a high, they have that doubt. Some people get weighed down by it. It sounds like he's got that issue where, you know, going out and drinking a week before as an excuse to use in case you lose the fight, like, I don't understand that logic at all. It doesn't make sense.
And I don't know if that helps or hurt him too, because it's not good. You shouldn't be drinking. I mean, Cowboy is the exception to the rule. That fucking guy is gonna drink and he's gonna live his life and party and wave runners and jet ski, whatever fuck he does that week before the fight. Mm-hmm. That's what he does. But John, it seems to be taking it to, because even, I don't know, was it right before he fought Daniel Cormier when he tested positive for cocaine? Obviously, he's partying and doing all that shit, but he's not changed, that's for sure.
He's not born again. No, that's what bothers me, because he keeps telling everybody, I've changed. I don't believe you.
No, he came with his publicist.
Right. And I didn't watch the video, I listened to it, but I swear it, and maybe you can... There were points where I felt like he was going one direction and somebody was directing him back.
No, I didn't see the directing back, but he went to take a piss at some point, and then I think the publicist was like, what the fuck are you doing? You can't be talking like this and that. So I feel like they tried to rein him in a little bit, but...
He wanted to be honest.
If you're going to come on a show, why are you bringing a publicist with you? You just got to be yourself. And again, it goes back to, I don't think he's a guy who's comfortable ever being himself.
Right. He's got a lot of guilt. And shame that he's like covering up, you know, just in weird ways, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting, because you had said a few minutes ago, you know, what if that whole thing is what he needs to be himself, and if he can't do all these crazy things because he's so worried about his public image, that might ruin his career. You know, it might save his life, but it might ruin his career. So I don't know.
I mean, he could still win. I mean, he won that OSP fight, but he's not the same guy. And but I will attribute that. You can't take 7 months off of fucking MMA training and then expect to have the same results. I know he was training for Cormier, but 7 months off, just doing no MMA?
He's crazy.
No way.
He's totally crazy.
Like, I don't know how far that set him back, but...
Yeah.
Man. Now he's... thinks he's just gonna submit everybody. So
he doesn't want to get hit. I'm not gonna get hit in the head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes sense, but I mean, man, was he saying he was just gonna come out and Damian Maya everybody?
Yes.
Like, okay, well, we'll see.
Got some years to go of jiu-jitsu for that one, but.
But when he started, he used to just take people down and then just elbow the fuck out of them. Yeah. He couldn't stop the John Jones takedown and then John Jones elbows and then. Mm-hmm. He kept going after people and beating them at their own game. And, you want to fight me this way? Well, I'll fight you that way, too.
Suppose he has the most submissions in light heavyweight division?
Something like that.
He said something like that, which I didn't check the stat.
Yeah, because he was saying, I think I'm tied with, like, Ken Shamrock or Frank Shamrock. I'm not sure which one. Like, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Not sure about that, John, but Yeah, you know, I just always have a bad taste in my mouth when he comes on shows. I just don't believe anything he says.
But isn't he the greatest fighter of all time?
I don't know.
Or is that Conor McGregor? Should I just keep going on that? Because that just pisses so many people off.
You took a lot of heat for that one last week.
Every week I say that, people freak out. It's when I take the whole sport of MMA, what you do inside the octagon and outside. You want to just talk inside the octagon, it's Jon Jones. When you talk about the entire sport, it's Conor McGregor.
Right. This is the Conor McGregor show.
I am Conor McGregor's nuts channel. Watch out.
Fine. I'll be on his nuts. That's fine. Throw us some money.
What else?
I'll hold myself up.
Dude, I want to talk about Conor McGregor. We can jump around a little bit. Good. So he was issued a boxing license in the state of California.
Why?
So, I don't know. He's got that going on. And then he was at some, I don't know, Q&A. He was talking about, you know, getting the belt stripped. And he said, I am still the two-weight world champion. UFC is fooling nobody with this bullshit they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then the UFC website, they also pulled him off the featherweight rankings.
Ew.
So, well, what is going on?
Dissension in the ranks, Matt.
They're trying to tell him, well, you're not going to fight at featherweight, so we're going to strip you of the belt, and we're going to pull you from the rankings, and then Conor goes out and gets a boxing license. So I don't know.
Are they just, like, swinging their dicks around?
It's another pissing contest. Yeah, okay, you do this, I do that. Fuck it, I'm retired. I'm not showing up for any. I'm not doing all this extra media. Yeah. I'm not your fucking monkey. I'm not going to dance for you anymore. Retired.
I don't know. God, I can't make any sense of that. So is he going to box Floyd Mayweather? He will get destroyed. That's going to be the most one-sided ass beating in the history of boxing.
Yeah, but don't you think that would be the biggest pay-per-view buy rate ever if the two of them fought?
It would be huge.
Even though Conor, and everybody knows Conor's going to get his ass kicked, I bet you it beats everything that they've ever seen. You would probably do 5 million pay-per-view buys. You could probably charge $100. And the fucking thing, the sad thing is, I'd probably pay to watch that.
Well, of course. Who wouldn't?
You know, I mean, it's spectacle.
Yeah.
At the most retarded level ever.
Yes. They might very well box, Matt.
They might.
I think they're both
in
bed together about this situation.
It's the amount of money they could each make.
$200-$300 million each for a few minutes of boxing. You know?
Right.
They could totally choreograph the shit and like make it a 10 round like battle.
Yeah.
You know? God, that's crazy.
Well, I still always wanted to say like you should have like you do it in boxing. Okay, we'll do a boxing match, but then we're also gonna do an MMA match. And let's see how that one works out.
Oh, Floyd got destroyed in that.
Right. Each person's gonna get destroyed in the other person's world. There's no question about that. Yeah. We've seen it happen. The only time that it didn't happen was when Ray Mercer fought Tim Sylvia.
Yeah. Oops. They're both like way out of their primes.
Yep.
I got nothing else.
Let's see. Fabricio Werdum. Unsure if he's going to continue fighting for the UFC. So we got another disgruntled employee.
Shocking.
Yeah, there was some. Oh, he had posted that shit on Instagram with the Nike, and then they fired him from his broadcasting role. And now another disgruntled employee. I don't know what's gonna happen with that.
Probably anal gangbang.
Probably. And then you see, Cain Velasquez says he has surgery scheduled already. I didn't know this guy was fucking Brazilian. He's already given the excuse, just like he said, like Jon Jones getting drunk.
Oh yeah.
Like kind of setting it up. Yeah. So. Why would you release that ahead of time? If you're Cain Velasquez, you're going to rematch Fabricio Werdum here.
Yeah.
Why are you going to tell everybody you're getting surgery? Just so you can put it out there so when you get your ass kicked?
He's going to one-up the Brazilian. Like, oh, you want to play your game? I have surgery already scheduled.
Right. I am one-upping you before you can one-up me afterwards. Fighting you at sea level, all right? Fuck you.
Yes, exactly.
What else do I have? I think one last thing. Tyron Woodley says he's not against any potential fight, but doesn't feel obligated to give Stephen Wonderboy Thompson a rematch from UFC 205's draw. Why not? You had a job with something. Don't you feel obligated to settle that?
Not if you think you're going to get beat.
Mm-hmm. Well, this also leads to, I wonder why Tyrone doesn't have that many fans. This doesn't seem like a fan-friendly type of response, does it?
No.
You might want to fight him. You might want to settle that. Typically, anytime we have a title fight that ends in a draw, or any fight that ends in a draw, you get an immediate rematch. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I'm okay with immediate rematch. Whether or not I want to actually watch, I don't think they can have a more boring fight. Can I say that?
Well, they might.
They might.
But yeah, maybe they'll do it again and it'll be exciting. It's probably going to be very similar to the first one, to be honest with you. It's my thought. So I don't want to see it again, but whatever.
But I feel like they need to do it either way.
I guess. I'm not a fan of Tyrone, really. Sorry.
Kick his ass, Tyrone!
Yeah, not impressive.
He did knock out Robbie Lawler.
He did. And Carlos Condit with the crazy injury, right?
Yeah, he kicked him in one leg and blew his knee out on the other.
It's like a ripple effect.
Oof, poof. Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right, ask the nuts. Ooh. Zeke Schwab asks, he said, with all the events of this week, the firing of Matt Hughes and Chuck Liddell, and Joanne Calderwood not getting comp tickets, are we officially in the corporate era of the UFC?
Yes, given what else you've said earlier in the show about the whole, like, contract, TV network deal, different commentators. Dude, it's going to happen. This is like 2.0 UFC / business / all flavors lost. NFL, yeah. here we come again.
Yeah, we're in a weird spot right now because they haven't even had a sit-down talk with Conor McGregor yet, which is weird. Yeah. So, you know, we're just going to fucking... It almost seems like the fighters have gone down a level since
how
the
is that
ownership.
Possible?
Like, we're already at dog shit. Now you've gone below dog shit.
How's that possible?
But then now you're seeing the pushback, though, from all these unions and associations. So, I mean, everything's going to come to a head because we're going to have a fucking labor strike here before you know it.
Ooh.
Mark my words. 2017! The year of the labor strike and possibly the monkey.
UFC 209, there is nobody shows up.
It's not happening.
Nobody's there for the win.
Imagine that. They make a big event and then no one comes. They're all there, but they're fucking strike picketing. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. They won't even sign autographs. No? Fuck you.
You probably never get a fight again if you're part of that group from anybody.
I don't know, man. Maybe. If all the top guys struck. There's not enough scabs in the world because no one wants to see the scabs. Matthew Whitehurst asks, is DJ that good of a fighter, or is he fighting low-caliber fighters that make him seem that way? You know, he just won this weekend, but he almost lost in the first round, this Elliott guy. And again, they said this was like one of the worst turnouts for... UFC event in the entire year of 2016.
Doesn't surprise me. He seems to be part of a lot of those cards. I think he's good, but I just don't think there's a lot of competition at 125.
It was kind of like you compare it to Ronda Rousey's division, where she's running through all these chicks until, you know, obviously Miesha Tate's a good contender, but then Holly Holm at her number. Yeah. But up until that point, it was just like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be a guy that comes along.
Or they just cut 125 because corporate UFC has no room for 125 pounds, 135 pounds men. And I think we got to get rid of some of these skinny ass ring card girls. We need thick bitches.
Some like down south, like
the they all have to be from Brazil.
Brazil?
That's a prerequisite.
Or Texas.
Okay. I'm down with that. And then David Hamilton asks, what is your take on Rogan and Goldberg being replaced? We kind of talked about that.
Don't like it.
I think it's a bad move. I think it's bad for business. Mm-hmm. People like the same. They don't like change. That would be like me sitting in that chair and Ingo sitting in this chair.
I always I suggest this all the time to him. I stopped and he's like, we're not doing that. I'm like, come on, just try once.
I won't do it.
You never know. What if that is like literally... the sauce, and we just go all of a sudden. They're like 2 days later, we get a call from NBC, like, dudes, you need to be part of our thing. No,
because I like to sit on this side because I like to feel like I'm driving a car.
Ah,
I always sit. This is like the same way I sit with my family if I'm eating at a restaurant. I have to be on this side and one of my daughters has to be on the other side.
Wow, I never thought of, I don't get into depth about this. I never thought about driving a car.
No. I always like to have whoever I'm with on the right.
Okay.
But I'm always facing the attacker. So if we're in a restaurant, you'd be on the inside of the booth. I'm on the outside, so I deal with trouble. That's right.
Okay.
I can come across.
That's a protector slash.
Across the right hand.
Protector slash, what do you call that? Driver?
Like your bodyguard, okay?
Yeah, there you go.
I'll be your bodyguard, Ingo.
Okay, great.
You got problems in your life?
I need lots of bodyguards.
I'll take care of your problems.
Yeah.
It'll all work out. Okay. And then let's hit some knowledge. I sent you a couple videos.
Oh.
You got to pull those up because I'll try, but I would imagine my fucking 10-year-old netbook probably not up to par.
Make sure the volume's down. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
It's loading.
So we have another man versus a kangaroo fight coming up.
Here we go. Let's take a look.
Hopefully. So there's
It's been removed by the user.
Oh.
Sons of bitches.
Hello? Well,
oh, the second one. Do you want? Can I look at the other one?
Yeah. So we have, like, how do you put a wolf in check? So I don't know if these are tame wolves or what.
Oh, that thing is so scary looking.
I'll save that other one for another day. But they get all fucking growly and shit. You could probably put a little volume. You can hear them getting all fucking gnarly. I'm not really worried about this.
Polish? Something?
So I think they were in Sweden, if I remember correctly. But these wolves are getting all surly. This one starts fucking biting this guy a little bit. Then the trainer comes over. It's a female trainer. And then it's fucking game time, man. Oh, kick to the grind. And then it starts biting him again, or biting her. Right there, bite. Kick to the groin. Kick to the head.
These dudes are all like, this is no big deal. What is this? Oh, she's pissed now. Yeah. Oh, no, she's like,
well,
fuck
look
you.
At how submissive the wolf gets.
Wow.
Tail between the legs. And then it's funny because when she turns her back, the thing tries to go after her, and then she turns around and it's dead stop in its tracks. Like, whoa.
They're howling too.
Yeah, another one's like, I don't like what's going on here.
Help me.
Yeah. Don't treat my brother like that.
Zootopia. You're going to start a howl. Remember that? You see that movie, Zootopia? Yeah. Okay. That's fucked up. They got these wolves all fucked up.
Yeah.
What is the deal with these wolves?
They're big. Like, that's like, got to be 100, 150 pounds, no?
What do you think they're, what do you think they're doing to these fucking things? Where,
I don't know, man.
Where they're that crazy.
That's fucked up.
That's creepy, man.
I think knowledge is turning into animal cruelty. I don't think you can be kicking animals here.
For the balls.
But I like it. If the other one doesn't come up, I'll find another video for next week.
It's pausing. That is creeping me out. But the thing is is that how wolves fight in the wild? Like they jump on each other like that?
Well, that's like how my dog attacked me. But that's how a trained animal that's supposed to fight, they're not supposed to jump up, they're supposed to go for your leg,
right,
and go low on you. Uh-huh. The crazy ones just go up high, like she just fucking grabbed it up high,
boom,
kick to the groin. Yo, you still want to come at me? Kick to the groin, kick to the head, and we're done.
It's just crazy. Imagine that was like a girlfriend or something. Oh man, I'd be like, you piss her off. Like, oh god, don't hurt me, please.
Then it's a fight. Then we're gonna throw hands.
She might kill you.
That's fine. Dude, let's
if
go.
If that
bitch.
Wolf is that scared of her after that couple of things, what are they doing to these wolves? Anal probes?
They feel no pain, cross. Man.
Wolves?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't. Mm. Oh, that's so funny.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't know what that kind of pain is, but
okay.
Whatever it takes. Anything else?
No.
All right.
Should I don't think I can follow that one. This has been this week's edition of MMA Notes. My name's Ingo Weigel.
Matt Griffith. Thanks for playing.